The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus. He said to him, "Teacher, there was a man out there who was casting out demons in your name, and we told him to stop it because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus, and he said to him, "Master, there was a man who was casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him. For whoever does a deed in my name will not soon afterwards be able to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, if you put a stumbling block in front of any of these people who are young in their faith in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone was hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Because it would be better for you to enter into life maimed than to have two hands and be thrown onto the trash heap. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It would be better for you to enter into life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown onto the trash heap. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It would be better for you to enter into life with one eye than to have both of your eyes and be thrown onto the trash heap where the worms never die and the fire is never put out. For everyone is going to be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you season it? Therefore, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Now is the time, my Father, for God. So I want to invite, is my microphone on? It doesn't sound like it's on. So my mic is not on.
Not here.
I think the battery's dead.
So did you tell her? So I have laughed too. Should I do the whole gospel again so it's on the recording? All right. Wow. All right. Technical difficulty. I can't remember when I first started building my wall, but I remember that I was out where all the people were, and I didn't like how and where they were walking, because they were doing it wrong, and I didn't want them to do it so close to me. So I started building a little wall just to mark my territory. And I thought that my little wall would help people stay in their place. They won't stay in their place if it won't stay up. So I worked really hard to have it be straight and to stay on the wall, actually, here. And to just kind of make my space so that they could know where they were supposed to walk. And I stood on my side of it, and I watched them walking by. But then somebody really ticked me off. They came and they actually walked on my wall. And I didn't like that either, because, you know, this is my wall, and I built it for my purpose, not to have them walk on it. So I decided to make it just a little bit longer and a little bit higher. And this is about how long it takes to build a wall, by the way. Maybe longer with mortar and bricks, but I built my wall, and I stood there and I told people, don't touch my wall. Like, you have your space and I have my space. And I actually thought that building my wall would train people. It would train them where they could walk and how they should walk and how to do it right. But one day after I had built up my wall a little bit higher, somebody actually came and leaned on the wall and tried to talk to me. And, you know, my wall wasn't for leaning on. It was to make the space between you and me and to give some order to things. So I put glass on the top of the wall. And that kind of stopped people from leaning on it, but it didn't stop them from saying hello and asking me what I thought about Stephen Harper. And I just didn't want any part of those kinds of conversations. And so I thought if I built the wall just a little bit higher, that maybe they wouldn't know I was over here at all. And they would leave me alone, and like whatever messy, wrong kind of things they want to do, including those stupid political conversations they were trying to drag me into, they could just have that on their side of my wall, and then my space would be mine finally. So I kept building my wall. And you know, as I built my wall, I was actually kind of proud of my work. I not so proud of that part of my work. I was actually kind of proud of these stones, and I started to polish them, and I built my wall a little bit higher even. And after time, the building got kind of quiet. Like, I was just building away and admiring my work, and people were leaving me alone. They couldn't see me anymore. And I rather liked the work. After a time, I noticed that I could use a break from the quiet. It's actually kind of lonely. And I didn't hear anyone anymore. One day I heard somebody, they jumped up. I could just see the top of their head. They were saying, "Is anyone in there?" But I decided just to stay quiet because I thought maybe all of that conversation and that wrong thinking and the way they tried to get me to do their things their way, that would all start again. So I just kind of hid. I kind of liked it alone in my space. One day, as I was sitting inside my wall, someone threw a flower right over the top of the wall. And then another one. And as I looked at those flowers, I remembered what it looked like on the other side of the wall. I remembered the trees and the mountains. And I marveled at how perfect those flowers were. How God made them and cared about something so simple. And then I kind of wanted somebody to talk to. So I looked up over the top of my wall and I yelled, "Is anyone out there? Is anyone there? Hello?" And then I started to think about those people. They weren't really mean to me or anything. I just didn't like how they did things. I wanted them to do it my way, and I wanted them to talk about what I wanted to talk about, not what they wanted to talk about. And I remember that Jesus one time said, "If people aren't against you, they're for you." And then God showed me that my stones really weren't so beautiful. I never saw it before. But my wall was made of really ugly things that I held on to and that I cherished. And I loved them above people. And when I saw what my wall was made out of, I started to cry. And I felt alone. And I yelled out, "Is there anyone out there?" Who really would want to come near me when I was behind a wall made of such things? What was I going to do? But alone there in my wall, I realized I wasn't alone. Jesus came and he said, "Remember, I told you, if people aren't against you, they're for you. You have made up a whole bunch of enemies, and it's not true. And even though you've chased everyone else away, I'm here, and I'll help you take down that wall. Let's start with this one." So Jesus and I, one by one, began to take down the stones. One day, as I was doing that work, a hand reached through the hole in the wall and gave me a sandwich. And I looked through the hole. The person was gone. As I started to do that work and I kept doing that work, people started to come by and they started to tell me about the walls they had built. And about how Jesus had come to them and had taken their addiction, had healed them from their shame. And when the wall got a little bit lower and I took away my insensitivity, people started to come and help me. And they started to bring flowers. And they leaned on my wall and talked to me. And it was all right. And I kept taking down my wall. Till I got to that last part that separated me from them. And I thought, I don't know, this part's really pretty. This is gonna keep the order. If I take this part down, I don't know who I'll be. Jesus came and said, "They're not against you. They're for you." And I said to Jesus, "Now what?" Jesus said, "Well, you know, other people have walls, and I got work to do elsewhere. But you have flowers and sandwiches. Why don't you go out in the world and make a difference?" So I went out in the world and I saw people were building walls. And the walls were so high that I yelled over the walls, "Is anyone in there?" Hello? Is anyone in there? And if nobody answered, I'd toss over a flower. Sometimes there were people who were taking down their walls and the holes were just big enough for me to shove in a sandwich. And other people had their walls almost down. I could see and talk to them, and they were crying, and I went and leaned on the wall and cried with them. And when I had the strength, I helped people take their stones down. And eventually I made it back to that place that I had called my own. And the weirdest thing happened. I didn't recognize it. It was just filled with rubble. And I thought, what an ugly place. Why would anyone want to make their home here? But there was a gigantic mess that I had made. And I said to Jesus, "Are you there?" Jesus said, "Yeah, I see the mess. What should I do?" Jesus said, "They're not against you, they're for you. And now you have building material. Why don't you build something good together?" Our world needs us to build something good together. The people of the world are not against us. They're for us. and the people in the world that are causing trouble, that are violent and mean and warring, they're just building walls. They just don't see. Jesus arms us with flowers and sandwiches and with rocks to build something good from our own experience of God's lavish grace upon us. And we're not the only ones. There are churches up and down this road. There are friends, actually. There's a Jewish synagogue not far from here. Our friends. There's a worldwide Turkish Islamic movement called Hizmet, 5 million people strong, doing good in the world. Our friends. They're for us, and we have important work to do together. May God grace you, help you in your dismantling and in your building up, in your collecting of flowers and making of sandwiches and all those little things that seem like they don't make a difference, because they do. Those little things that you're compelled to do from the silent recesses of your heart can be the tipping point for someone who feels unloved. And love can tip the whole world. And boy, the world needs it. We're working on our immigration status, and we were sitting in the fingerprinting office not long ago. And they made us wait, even though there was no one there, which you know how that feels. 20 minutes. But there were these little sayings all over the walls in that place, just things somebody printed out from their computer. Here's the one that caught me. People who need love the most will ask for it in the most unloving ways. People who need love the most will ask for it in the most unloving ways. Can you bear a flower to them? Or a sandwich? Will you lend your ear and lean on their wall? Will you put yourself at risk for what Jesus wants to do in someone else's heart? This is the call of the baptized. And may you be blessed by it. In the name of the one who sends us all. Amen.